Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor Brandon Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We're continuing our series in Hebrews called Stand Strong. God wants us to stand strong as believers, and we're picking it up in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, one of the most amazing chapters in Scripture. It's really a who's who of the people of faith in the Bible, meant to build our faith, meant to help us stand strong for Jesus. So I want to speak to you from the subject today, strong faith takes action. Strong faith takes action. Action. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to take some action. Turn to your neighbor, other neighbor, the one, your second choice, say, I'm going to be a person of faith. Speaking in faith, strong faith takes action. And we're picking it up in Hebrews chapter 11, looking at really a picture of a man who really took action. If there was a picture that you could put in your head, you would put the picture of Noah. So let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. That's an amazing scripture all by itself, isn't it? But I'll tell you what's so interesting about this one verse. In one verse, the writer of Hebrews condenses four chapters in Genesis. In one verse, he encapsulates a great man of faith's life. But he also gives us some principles on the life of Noah that will absolutely change your faith when it comes to having strong faith and taking action. I want to give you three principles from this verse. The first one is strong faith starts moving. Strong faith is a moving faith. Strong faith gets going. Look at it in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, built an ark. If you want to be a person of faith, you got to be a person that's ready to move. If you want to be a person of faith, that you have to be ready to say, God, when you say it, I'll do it. God, when you say go, I'll go. God, when you speak to my heart, I'm ready. I love that. By faith, Noah, he built an ark. But I think to understand what a step of faith looks like, the massive step of faith that Noah took in doing this, we have to understand what Noah had not seen, and we have to understand what building an ark entailed. So I'm going to give you a few thoughts from this. First of all, Noah hadn't seen rain. Noah had never seen rain. Look at this. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. So God is going to judge the earth. And the Lord said to Noah, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature. God's saying the earth is violent. God's saying, you know, my spirit will not strive with man forever. So he speaks to Noah and he says, you know what? I'm going to send rain on the earth. The only thing is, Noah had never seen rain. Never seen it. And how do we know Noah had never seen rain? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, it says this, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. So the climate on the earth at that time was different. There was an atmospheric canopy. It was more like a tropical climate, and water would come up from the ground and water the earth. And that's why when God says, you know what, I'm going to send rain on the earth, it's said like that because rain had never come on the earth. This is shocking. This is like God coming to you and saying, hey, I want you to be a part of this project, and it's going to take a step of faith. And he says, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. Okay, get ready. I'm going to zipple-zapple. You'd be like, God, I have no idea what that is. That's how crazy this would have sounded. Water is going to come from the sky, and I'm going to flood the earth. Noah would have never seen a flood. He would have never seen rain, and it would have been a massive step of faith for him to start moving, even though he'd never seen it. Have it warned about things not yet seen. But you know, that's how faith works. Faith is something that we operate in, not because we see how it can happen, but because of what God said. In fact, it says this in scripture. It says, we live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes God calls you to do things by faith and you got to say, God, I just believe that you're calling me to do this. I'm going to step out in faith. That might be going to a coworker and sharing your faith. God says, you know what? I want you to go to that person. And you're like, God, well, I don't really see an opening there. They don't really seem like they'd be interested in the things of faith. God said, go. You say, okay. Because that's what the life of faith does. The life of faith says, I don't have to see it. You know, Noah had never seen any boat the size of an ark before. Look at this. And God said to Noah, make yourself an ark. You know what the word for ark is in Hebrew? It's box. Make yourself a box, Noah, a floating box of gopher wood. Now, scholars are like, they're kind of debate, what is gopher wood? Nobody really knows exactly what that wood would have been, but it was maybe like a pine or a cedar, which would have been very plentiful. God's saying, make yourself this giant box, and this is how you're to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth is 50 cubits, and its height is 30 cubits. Now, to give you an idea of the size, that would have been a box that's 500 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 50 feet tall. This is a massive, massive floating structure. Noah would have had no paradigm for a structure of that size. To think that you're gonna build that and you're like, okay, so it's gonna flood, it's gonna rain, and this thing is gonna float. And God's like, yep, that's the size I want you to build it. To give you an idea of how big this would have been, compared to a football field, it would have been 1.5 times the size of a football field in length. Massive, massive. And to think he's gonna have to put plans together, he's gonna have to start building this, how am I gonna do it? Is it gonna float? I think it'd be interesting for you to just see what it looks like next to the campus. We'll put it up on the screen. That's how big the ark would have been. Now, just keep that up for a second. Because I think you need to slow down. We read scripture way too fast, don't we? God's telling you to build that. You're like, where am I gonna start? Some of you are pretty good at construction, but say you had no idea how to build anything. How are you gonna get a team together? How are you gonna get people to buy into that vision? Yeah, we're gonna build okay, what is it? It's a giant box. It's about 500 feet long. Yeah. And God told you to build it. Mm-hmm. And he said, why are we building it? It's gonna rain, water's gonna fall from the sky. It's gonna be crazy. And they're like, you're crazy. But that's how it was. Honestly, we laugh about it, but can you imagine doing it? Could you imagine God speaking to you and you saying, God, I'm taking a step of faith. You'd never seen rain. You'd never seen anything that size. Let's go a little bit farther. Let's say, okay, you're gonna build this ark, it's gonna rain. And then, you know what? You're gonna fill it with animals. Now, we know God brought the animals, but look at how God originally says it to Noah. He says, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. I find that super comical. It's like, hey, you're gonna get two of every kind of living creature, but you need to keep them alive, all right? You can't kill them in the ark, all right? It's important. But what, you know, when Noah hears that, he's saying, okay. And at no point in the story do we get the sense that Noah's like, well, God, I think this is impossible what you're calling me to do, so I just can't do it. And Lord, you know, this project is gonna take Noah over 100 years. Over 100 years to say, you know what? I'm gonna build it, I'm gonna do it. Over 100 years, he's building, believing God is gonna do what he said he would do. For 100 years, he goes, people are like, okay, and so what are you gonna fill it? Why are all these rooms in here? Well, there's animals that are coming. And they're like, well, how are you gonna get the animals? And he said, you know what? God just told me to do it, so I'm doing it. I believe he's gonna work it out. That's what faith does. I feel the Lord's presence in here. Somebody, God's calling you to take a step of faith. Somebody, God's calling you saying, you know what? You need to build that room onto your house. Some of you, God's calling you to go say, you know what? You need to start signing up for Cherish Kids because you're going to foster some kids. Well, God, I don't know where we put them. I don't know how we'd feed them. I don't know how we'd have the money. Oh, I said, go. God, you know my life story. You know this can't work out. That's impossible. God says, you take the step of faith, I'll provide. You take the step of faith, I'll be right there. You take the step of faith, I'm going to work in your life. Some of you, God's speaking to you and saying, you're too slow. You're too slow to move. You're too slow to say, God, I'll do what you said to do. God's saying, just go. Some of you are like, man, I would serve, but I don't know what I'd do. I don't really have any talents. I don't really feel like I can make a difference. How would I meet people? You know what? You're asking all the questions Noah didn't ask. Noah said, God, I hear you, and I'm ready. You know that's the fun place to live? To say, God, I just want to be a person of faith. I'll just get moving. That's when you sense the wind of the Holy Spirit at your back. That's when you say, God, I believe and I know and I see you moving. And when I don't see, God, I trust you. Noah started moving. Strong faith starts moving. The second principle we see is strong faith takes a stand. Noah took a stand. Look at it in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world. This means Noah, as he's building, is taking a stand. Noah's preaching. Maybe you're like, well, I'm not a preacher, so I can't do what Noah did. You know, preaching in its most basic sense is publicly declaring the truth, making a public stand. That's what Noah's doing. Noah could have said, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm just building here, and hopefully people will figure it out. No, he's preaching to a lost and dying world. He's saying, you know what? God is bringing judgment. Why are you building this? He's not just saying, well, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to say, you know, and hopefully it all works out. No, he's saying, you know what? You need to know about this. God is going to judge the world. God is going to send rain. And I don't care if you think I'm crazy. What I think you need to know is there's a God who loves you enough to save you if you'll come with me. Noah was called a preacher of righteousness. We see that. 2 Peter says Noah was the preacher of righteousness. He's preaching. He's building. He's saying, you know what? Strong faith takes a stand. And you might think, well, maybe the earth was, you know, I know it was bad, Brandon, but how bad was it then? And, you know, where I take a stand is really challenging. You telling me to take a stand in my workplace, if you knew my work environment, you would be like, wow, that's really hard. Maybe you should not do that. But your workplace isn't even close to what the earth was like. In fact, God said this in a summary statement about how bad it was. He says this in Genesis, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the summary statement of what's happening on the planet. Those are the people Noah's preaching to. These are the people that God is saying, you know what? You need to tell them I'm sending judgment. You need to tell them I'll save them. You know what? And nobody listens. To give you an idea of how bad it was in the time of Noah, it was a spiritually and sexually dark time. At the start of Genesis chapter 6, really the opening phrase that says, this gives you an idea of what was happening in Noah's time. Here, let me set the story up. The writer says this: the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. This phrase, sons of God, is used throughout the Old Testament to describe supernatural beings, to describe angels. And they're saying, you know what? They saw the daughters of men were attractive, and they started taking them. And they started having sexual relationships with them. That's a dark time. These are people opening themselves up to demonic activity, opening themselves up to sexual activity that's absolutely demonic, and it tears the earth apart. It creates a race of humans that were giant people called the Nephilim, violent, vile people. Look at this. It says the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. Nephilim means fallen ones. And also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. And these were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Now, when you hear mighty men, don't think, oh, these are like heroes that like are helping people. No, these are violent, quasi-demonic people that are abusing people, that are taking advantage of people, setting a tone of violence across the earth. And this is something humanity has welcomed and opened themselves up to. Once again, it's a reminder that humanity is not essentially good, that humanity is a sinful, fallen race, that apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ, we have no hope of doing good, that we're all destined to judgment, that we've all gotten lost and gone astray, and we see that in vivid display in 1,500 years since the fall in the garden. That's how long humanity's been on the planet, and that's how bad it got. Maybe you've never heard of this before. You're like, Brandon, is this other places in the Bible? Yes, it's in the New Testament. Jude talks about it. Can it happen now? No, it can't. Look at it in Jude verse 6. The angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he, that's speaking of God, has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. But don't think just because that can't happen now that sexual immorality is not demonic. Noah is standing in his day. Imagine if Noah was involved. How could he stand? Imagine if Noah was entertained. How could he stand? He couldn't. And his voice would have been lost in a generation. It was a sexually dark, spiritually dark environment. It was a violent environment. Look at it. The key term that Genesis 6 uses to describe that environment is violence. It says this, that the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was filled with violence. Then in another verse, God said to Noah, I've determined to make an end to all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence. The word for violence is Hamas. It's the Hebrew word Hamas. It means to be abusive, physically violent, abusive, unjust. This is the environment that Noah is preaching to. And on top of that, imagine at the end of his time building the ark, he's preaching this whole time, only 8 righteous people are on the earth. Nobody listened, yet he still preaches. God didn't just call you to take a stand when it feels good, when people are listening to you, when people like it, when you're like, man, this is really making a difference. God calls you to take a stand no matter what. Because you're putting a stake in the ground for the kingdom. When you raise your voice, when you say, God, I'm gonna speak truth and I'm gonna speak righteousness. That's the kind of stand Noah took. How can we take a stand as believers? We can take a stand for righteousness when it's not cool or politically correct. That means taking a stand. It's easy to take a stand in church. But the real difference happens when you step out into the world and you say, you know what, I don't care how I look, and I don't care if this is PC, I don't care if people like it, I just need to tell them the truth. I need to make clarity happen. This doesn't mean we don't love people. This doesn't mean we don't have a tone of love. This isn't Noah condemning the world by just hammering on them. No, he's saying, this is the truth. And I don't love you if I don't tell you the truth. Judgment's coming. And it doesn't matter if you believe it. What matters is you know it. And let God, the Spirit of the Lord, striving with people. Genesis 6, he's striving with people. What's that mean? He's speaking to their hearts. It's their decision whether they respond, but it's not our decision as people of faith whether we take a stand or not. We have to take a stand. We take a stand by speaking truth into a dark world. That's why this yard sign thing is so important. What you're doing is you're doing more than putting a yard sign in your yard. You're saying, you know what? I'm going to stand up for the unborn. I'm going to be a person of righteousness. I don't care if people don't like it. I don't care what people think. If they think it's immoral and they say it's wrong, I know it's true, that God created humanity and that a life matters. And I'm taking a stand and I'm using my voice. And I just have to say, for some of you, maybe you're the kind of person that you're like, well, I take a stand in other ways. I don't like to put myself out there. I'm just not that type of person. Then it's going to be hard to really be a person of faith. You got to put yourself out there. You got to raise your voice. You got to be okay with being misunderstood. Noah was completely misunderstood. Nobody understood what he was doing. Yet he took a stand. We stand by the way we live. We stand by for Jesus when people think we're stupid or don't seem to be listening. It's okay to be weird. People who don't know Jesus think you're weird when you love Jesus with all your heart. And if you're wanting that to change, just newsflash, it won't. It's okay to be like, you know what? I'm going to set my Bible out. I'm going to talk to people about my faith. I'm going to pray with people at work. I'm going to take a stand that says, you know what? This is who I am. I'm a lover of Jesus. I'm a builder of the kingdom. I'm going to share my faith. Some of you are like, when is the last time you shared your faith? When is the last time you put yourself out there and said, you know what? I'm going. I'm just doing it. That should be the regular for a believer. To say, you know what, God, it's about you and it's not about me. People respect it, by the way. People respect it when you're like, I don't care if I look weird. They're like, wow, there's something to that. And God will use it in a mighty way. We take a stand for the kingdom even when there's intense persecution. I can't imagine the things that were thrown at Noah. The things that were said to him, said about him. But that doesn't determine whether we take a stand, what people say. We live for truth. God honors faith. It takes faith to take a stand and he'll go with you. Finally, strong faith saves. How does strong faith save? It puts hope in the grace of God. And it has a holy fear of God. And this is critical because in this passage, fear and faith coexist. I don't know if you noticed it, but let's read it again. By faith, Noah, being warned by God in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. In this passage, you see faith and fear, and there's no contradiction. Because when you're a person of faith, you believe in the grace of God. You believe in the goodness of God. You believe in the heart of God to save humanity. And the ark is a wonderful picture of that. But you also believe God is a God who is true to his word and will judge sin. You cannot be a person of faith and not believe that. True faith in Jesus says Jesus died to save people from their sin. And it might feel good to say, you know what? I just believe God's a God of love, and that's all he is. But it's not good if it's not true. It's not good if you say, I have no fear of God. I don't really, you know, think of God that way. Then you don't think of him biblically. And the problem is you're on your way to judgment. Fear of God is a blessing from God to save you, to drive you to his grace. God is not a good God if he is okay with sin. God is not a good God if he's just okay with how you live. Oh, God loves me just the way I am. No, God loves you, but he doesn't leave you the way you are. He changes you when you come to him. He says, you know what? I can take you as you are and make you something better than you ever dreamed. Out of the ashes, I'll create beauty, but you have to go to God to get that. Fear of God. You're like, well, I, you know, That sounds like Old Testament to me. You know what? Jesus talked about the fear of God and said it probably more pointed than any part of Scripture. Listen to what he says about the Father. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that, do no more. Meaning, don't be afraid of people. Don't let people drive how you do life, how you look in front of people. If people like you, don't like you. I'll tell you who to fear, Jesus says. I'll show you whom to fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. I tell you, yes, fear him. He says, one day every person is gonna give an account for every single idle word you've ever spoken. Every idle word. You're gonna stand before the one whose eyes burn with fire. And if you're like, dang, man, you're scaring me. Good. Praise God. Because God is not to be messed with. He's not somebody you like pull into your life whenever you feel like it and then leave him out whenever you don't. God is not a Sunday God. God is not just a feel-good God. Oh, God loves you. He cares about where you're at. So he came to you this morning and said, warning. Warning, by faith, Noah, when warned. You know what warnings are? Grace. It was the grace of God that warned you. It was the grace of God that said, hey, the bridge is out. It was the grace of God that said, if you go that way with your life, it's not gonna go well for you. It's the grace of God that says, you know what? If you don't give your heart to Jesus, then you have no hope of being right before God. You have no hope of making it through the judgment. You have no hope of seeing the grace of God in your life, because the grace of God comes through Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the one who changes you. Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. The warning is the grace, but the fear of God is what makes you go, hey, you know what? I better do it. I think God is so good. When you woke up this morning, I know it's kind of cloudy. When you wake up tomorrow, okay? And the sun's out. And I just want to qualify this just a little bit, because some of you don't have another day. So hopefully you wake up tomorrow. But do you notice that the sun shines on people who love Jesus and don't love Jesus? That's the grace of God. But don't use God's grace to you to blind you from the fact any kindness of God is drawing you to repentance. But don't use that to be like, oh, I'm good with God. You know, people in Noah's day could have made excuses like that. You see, Jesus talking about the fear of the Lord and the judgment that's coming. And truly, judgment is coming just like it came in the day of Noah. It's coming. Except this time, God's going to destroy the earth by fire, not water. And you need to be ready. Look what Jesus says in Matthew. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. What's that saying? That's saying, like, if you're like, man, life's going pretty good for me right now, Brandon. Like, I think it's good. Like, I had a good week last week, and like, I feel like that means God's good with me. Oh, Jesus is like, you know what? Just because you're living life, just because, you know, this might seem like it's going well, that might seem like it's going well, don't be deceived. Don't let that mask the fact that the real soul part of the issue, the deep thing, the part that will change your life forever is right. God is gracious and he loves you. But judgment is coming. And just like Noah in the ark is a picture. It's a picture of the cross. If you were on the ark, you were safe. If you were out of the ark, you perished. If you're in Christ, you're safe. You're made right with God. If you're out of Christ, you're dead in your sin, and no amount of good deeds, no amount of like, man, I tried this or I do that, none of that saves you. You have to be in the ark of the cross.